A very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 22nd May 2022, a Sunday class. So we'll be continuing sharing from this book, the 46th lesson of the Six Patriarchs Platform Sutta. This one, we are at page 14. Master Wei Ling's meaning is different. So this one is regarding precepts and the refuge, yeah? And also what does it mean by touching money. You read the sutta, he only talks about taking refuge with the Triple Gem, the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha. But in Master Sien Hua's commentary, he said, take refuge with the Sangha. The Sangha is pure, and its members are called pure field of merits, which is true. True genuine cultivator should maintain the precepts, which are also true, because the precept includes against handling money. But the next sentence, you have to be careful. Master Sien Hua said, without money, you are pure. With money, you are dirty. So this case is not necessarily true. So I only mention, that one you have to contemplate and you will understand what I mean. The statement is no longer true. Why? It assumes that if you are with money, you will use it negatively. That is assumption. That's why he said, with money, you are not pure, you are impure or dirty. That is because that person is deluded. Otherwise, he won't use money negatively. Whether with money or without money, that person has to be deluded to do that. To say that without money you are pure, there is no such thing. A lot of poor people without money may not be pure. Okay, so we shall go on. Members of the Sangha who truly wish to cultivate should stay away from money. As a general emphasis, this one is, in a way, it does have its point of merits, because if you are a member of a Sangha who truly wish to cultivate, you should stay away from money. Why? Because the temptation is too strong. When you start to touch money, a lot of things can go wrong, because you choose to be a member of the Sangha means you choose to ordain and go form, and you have those precepts, and you try to touch money which is against those precepts, you may succumb to the temptation. So that is the meaning. They should add in the word initially stay away from money, which is a good advice. On the other hand, without money, you cannot nourish the way, means you cannot cultivate. Although you need money, you should not be attached to it. So this one is useful understanding. So I said, this part is correct. You should not be attached to it. And dependent on its source, thinking all day, who has several million in the bank, I will go and beg from him. Then I can build a temple or a school, or perhaps print an edition of the Tipitaka as a meritorious activity. That's just profit seeking. You are just seeking for merits and all those things. While in Manchuria, there was a short period during which money and I parted company. I never touched money for a good reason. Living in the temple where I live, when I left home for, I left home with 40 or 50 bhikkhu. But sometimes as few as 10. When I first arrived at the temple, the abbot was not begging, and none of the bhikkhu knew me. I knew the abbot, I said, and they welcomed me. The word begging is not appropriate here. It should be out for alms round or pindapata. After leaving home, I practiced austerity. This is Master Shenhua, but not the ones you all practice. You type, translate sutta and meditate. But in the big rural temple where I was, a lot of outside work is to be done. Sweeping the courtyard alone can take hour and hour. My first job is to clean the toilet, which were flush toilets. Oh, weren't flush toilets, but pit toilets, means the ancient day one. And every day the waste has to be removed because the cultivator did not want to smell the odor. They gave this work to me because I had just left home and had not yet cut off my attachment to smell. I did it every day and I didn't mind too much. This was referring to Master Shenhua's early day situation that he had to go through. Then according to Master Shenhua, I got up at 2 in the morning to prepare the hall for service. When it snowed, I sweep the walkway so that they were clear at 4 when everyone else got up. When the abbot returned and saw me, he said, "So you have come?" "Yes," I said, "I have." After I had formally left the home, he called a meeting, wishing to elect me as a manager, a position second only to the abbot. Is the manager called Tang Jia? Tang Jia, Tongka. The person who manages everything on behalf of the abbot. I think so, right? Tang Jia. That's why in Sampo Temple, we also have a Tang Jia. When the abbot retires, the manager of Tang Jia becomes the new abbot. So everyone objected. "He has just left home," they say. "How can he possibly be manager?" "Very well," said the abbot. "Let's go before the image of Wei Tong, Bodhisattva, and draw names. Do you know who Wei Tong is? He is the Dhamma protector, Wei Tong Pusa." Oddly enough, they drew 3 times and my name came up each time. No one said a word because I have been elected by Wei Tong, Bodhisattva himself. Later, when the abbot wanted to make me an administrator, I said, "All right, but I will not touch money. Other people must handle and count it." That was my condition. So administrator is the Tang Jia, not the manager, as I had thought earlier on. As a monk, you should have this kind of understanding because the rules apply are meant to train you. So this part is a good understanding. The rules are meant to train us. In the Theravada tradition, the monk will have a kapiya to manage all the offering and money on his behalf. But you have in the past been deceiving people, cheating people, or as a kapiya, you are not honest. Then when you become monk, you will have kapiya who will in turn cheat on you, not honest to you. And all these are possible. Let us continue. Commentary. Unusual things happen while I held these precepts. Whenever I went to a train station, I would sit and wait for someone who knew me to come and offer to buy me a ticket. If no one came, I just waited. But strangely enough, whenever I went to the train station, someone will come forward to buy me a ticket. If you don't have the money, you are pure. If you keep even 1 cent, you are unclean. Take refuge with the Sangha, which occupies the purest, highest, and most venerable position, the honored among the multitudes. So this is Master Xuan Hua's commentary. This is how he did it, which is very good. There is one part which I need to explain to you. In the Theravada tradition, when the Buddha started his Pindapata, or going for arms round tradition, he did it with a very important understanding. There must be a synergy between the lay community who offer and the receiver of the alms. That's the reason why monks who go for must have this understanding too. To be a monk, technically, you have to be worthy of offering, or you must have a lot of virtues. You have to have a lot of parami, perfection, from the past. If you believe in your virtue, in your parami, then you can keep the precept well, just like what Master Xuan Hua went through. But those parami will come to fruition. Then whenever you need things, you will be able to receive it because this is your parami, which you have cultivated before. That's why during the Buddha's time, whenever they want to go to a remote place, which is very cold, chances are you won't be offered warm clothing and food. The Buddha knew. Hence, he said, you take along this disciple because he has got a lot of good parami. He had donated and offered a lot of warm clothing in the past before. So even when they are there at a remote place, there will be people there to make offering to them all the warm clothing. Then the others are food and shelter. So you must have those parami. If you keep to that understanding, which is the right view, and you have the faith in your cultivation, then you will be alright. Just like what happened to Achan Jagarup. He had been a monk for many years. And he told me there were only two occasions where he was not able to get food. And during those two occasions, he did not eat. The rest of the occasion, he would surely receive offering from the lay community. You have those understanding and your parami is there, and you follow the advice of the Buddha, which is to keep the Patimokkha accordingly, then you will be doing well. You will do well. That's why they always advise the forest monk or the Tutanga monk to live near a village where they can go for Pindapata. It should not be too far or too near, because by the time you go out and come back and have your meal, you should do it before noon. Sometimes they have to leave early if it's a bit far. Then they have to endure the harsh terrain condition and climate so that they can come back before noon to eat the food or the meals. Then only they can have time to cultivate. As they go for Pindapata, they also cultivate mindfulness, daily mindfulness, and all those other training. These are the Patimokkha or monks' training rules and precepts that the Buddha has laid down or introduced for the monks to train themselves. You can keep to the monk's precept, the Patimokkha, which has 227 precepts or rules. It will train you very well in developing mindfulness. For you have to be mindful of so many things under the Patimokkha. Do you understand? Then when you can be mindful over all these things, your mindfulness will become very stable or become a part of you. Everything that you come to experience or encounter or come into contact, you have to reflect and contemplate mindfully. Are these allowable? Am I worthy of the offerings of food? Am I keeping the Patimokkha? Did I violate any part of the Patimokkha? All these are training rules. You have to be constantly aware. And with that kind of training, you will definitely become enlightened, like the Buddha said. Heedfulness is the path to the depthless. The heedful never die. Whereas the heedless are as if dead. So the moment you decide to renounce the world, whether as a monk or not as a monk, you have already determined to train yourself to be mindful and heedful. Because renunciation is inwardly. Then you are destined for enlightenment, because according to the Buddha, the heedful will never die, and heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The Buddha's teaching is very clear. This is the reason why you have to determine and aspire to cultivate and develop all this training, to develop the five spiritual faculty and the essential Dhamma, leading to the understanding, and constantly work on the cultivation, starting with sila, then samadhi and panya, which are essentially the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path. Then within the Noble Eightfold Path, all the essential practices are there. The four foundations of mindfulness, which include anapanasati, mindfulness of the four bhusha, and the daily mindfulness, etc. Cultivate the right view, leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Then develop the four right effort to constantly purify and improve on yourself. Then right sati and samadhi will follow. That's how the cultivation can become beautiful and you can perfect it. These are the essential understanding that are not taught. So this is the part I want you to pay attention to. I have added in because this is the understanding that I came to realize, but it's not mentioned by others. Now you will move on to the next part of the sutta, page 238. Then I ask, do you have any question? You can raise your hand and I will pass the mic to you so that we can discuss it further. Since there is no question, we shall move on. This is the sutta part, page 238 of the sutta. From this day forward, we call enlightenment our master and will never again take refuge with deviant demons or outside religion, white town. We constantly enlighten ourselves by means of the triple gem of our own self nature. Good knowing advisors, I exhort you all to take refuge with the triple gem of your own nature, the Buddha, which is enlightenment, the Dhamma, which is the right teaching, and the Sangha, which is the pure enlightened disciple of the Buddha. The Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha, they are the triple gem. What are gemstones? They are the most precious among the precious stones. So when you take refuge with the triple gem, it means these are really precious gems, the most precious among the precious stones. That's why they call it the gemstone. The reason why they are so precious is because you can only find the teaching within the triple gem. Take for example the first gem, which is the Buddha himself. Who is the Buddha? Is it the image? No. If it's not the image, then who is the Buddha? Of course, you can tell me. He is not only enlightened, but also fully enlightened. He is the embodiment of his perfection of wisdom and virtue. That's what the Buddha is. These qualities, no one can take away from him. Even by destroying his image, by abusing his name, the Buddha is never affected, but that is not him. That image of Rupang is for you to recall to mind the nine great virtues of the Buddha. That's why they are object of veneration. They are not the Buddha. The understanding of it is very important. If you have this understanding, you can cultivate correctly. With this understanding, your mind is different. You are not gullible like other people. You will not become affected or afflicted when someone does something to the image. or you will not go and say, how can this guy be so disrespectful? Like what they call the Bayan people of Afghanistan, when they destroy the Buddha images using modern weapons. Many Buddhists around the world got very agitated and become very unhappy. They said, they, the Bayan people, never respect our Buddha and all those teachings with all the big hoo-ha, hue and cry. Luckily, when I saw the comment on the internet at that time, I wrote a very simple explanation, and after that, all quiet down. Before that, the email came non-stop, and some people were getting very emotional and unhappy with what the Bayans were doing. Everyone was giving their very unhappy views. Then I said, that is the image and not the Buddha. The Buddha is the embodiment of his perfection of virtue and wisdom. And you have to understand that only the spiritual nature, his perfection of wisdom and virtue, that is the Buddha, not the image. The Buddha took the wisdom path and taught the fundamental truth, which is the essence of his teaching. He is the Buddha, a fully enlightened one, and because of that, he will have the teaching. That's why you must take refuge in the Buddha, because the Buddha is the embodiment of his nine great virtue, resulting from his perfection of all virtue and wisdom. Then the Dhamma is the teaching that the Buddha proclaimed or brought forth to the world after he had become the Sammasambuddha. That one can really awaken you. That's why it is true refuge. Then the Sangha are the enlightened disciples of the Buddha who have already realized the truth. That's why they will also have the teaching. And this is also true refuge. If you take refuge in them, then you are saved, because the Buddha under the Dhammapada verse said, there is no other refuge safe outside the Triple Gem. Only in the Triple Gem is there refuge safe, because only in them you can find the teaching, the Four Noble Truths. And this Four Noble Truth can liberate your mind and awaken you. That's the reason why you have to take refuge in them. So this is a very profound understanding. And this part, we will have to read through it, because the sutta did mention this. The commentary part, we will go through after and see what he says. We will now continue from page 239. Yeah? This one is the Six Patriya Platform Sutta. Master Shenhua's version. The sutra, page 239. The sutra says, when the mind takes refuge in enlightenment, deviant confusion does not arise. Desire decreases so that you know contentment and are able to keep away from wealth and from opposite sex. That is called the honor, the doubly complete of perfect. When your own mind takes refuge with what is right, there are no deviant views or any of our thoughts, or in any of our thoughts. Because there are no deviant views, there is no self or others, arrogance, greed, love, or attachment. This is called the honor that is apart from desire. When your own mind takes refuge with the pure, your self nature is not stained by attachment to any state of defilements, desire, or love. That is called the honored among the multitude. So this is the explanation of the sutta regarding the Triple Gem. We will now move on. Commentary said, to lessen desire, it is not enough to be a vegetarian only and to read the sutta. You must cut off all desire, especially sexual desire. If you does not cast out thought of lust, one will never escape the dust. So this is Master Shenhua's explanation to his commentary. The first part is very interesting and meaningful. To lessen desire is not enough to be just a vegetarian and just read sutta. This part I think you can understand. If you claim to be a vegetarian, this is outward form Dhamma. It does not mean that if you are a vegetarian, you are more compassionate. Do you know why? You can claim to be a vegetarian, but if you have not developed the cultivation as yet, what difference does it make? You can claim to be a vegetarian, but you have not cultivated the Dhamma and the teaching, which means you are still deluded. So how can there be love and compassion? Love and compassion come from cultivation. If you cultivate until you understand, then automatically you go vegetarian. That is because, and it, that way is good because that is based on understanding. But if you only hear people say, hey, you better become a vegetarian, for it will make you more compassionate or pure, then through believing, you do it. Without cultivating the understanding, via mindfulness leading to heedfulness, this has not much meaning if you do that. What happens is that you never get to see your own sacrality or self-delusion, your own evil roots. Without cultivating the mind, wisdom cannot arise. You will still be what you are, meaning a putujana, and still deluded. So outward form Dhamma cultivation, or what they call outward form level cultivation, does not give understanding, for you have not moved on to cultivate the mind Dhamma. You have not developed the training of the mind to develop samadhi, to awaken to the truth. So the first part is useful, as per what Master Xuanhua has shared. To lessen desire, it is not enough to just be a vegetarian and to read sutta. You must cut off all desire or root out all desire. Here he also emphasized on sexual desire, where he believed people find it very difficult to cut off sexual desire. But the correct explanation should be, you should cut off all craving, all desire, and all attachment in whatever form. So craving, desire, and attachment, they are born of the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. It's just like what I explained before. If there is good food, if there is condition for you to have it, you can have it as long as you don't get attached and you don't develop craving and the desire for it when there is no condition to have it. Then understanding is very important. That's why there must be understanding behind contentment. Attachment and craving have the deep-rooted evil roots of greed behind. When there is no condition for you to have, yet you want it, then it becomes a craving, a desire. Then it will make you miserable. It afflicts you because there is a very strong craving to get what you want. When you understand that there is condition for things to arise, then use it just like this for my mind. If condition arise for you to be born into a wealthy family, to receive all this because of your parami, then use it, rejoice with it. Also, thank your good karma. But don't be deluded by it. Don't cling and be attached to it. Don't be miserable when this thing is no longer around, when you don't have the condition to have them. This non-greed is very important. That understanding of it will not make you rigid, gullible, and deluded. Otherwise, you will become the other extreme, like what I had explained before. If you have become enlightened, you must not have craving or desire, right? Have you heard of this before? There is nothing wrong with the statement of you must not have craving, you must not have desire. But they interpret it differently. To them, eating good food is a type of craving. Sleeping on nice bed is craving. But when you are under training, you are supposed to abstain from enjoying and indulging in all those things. Because when you are under training, you don't have the understanding as yet. So it's better for you to abstain. But when you have the understanding already, it's different. When there is condition to have, they have it. But you must use it with understanding. If you have the condition, the good karma that manifests this condition, for you to have it, then you can have it. Just like during the time of the Buddha, he was invited to the palace by the king and the rich people to their home. And do you think they offered him simple food? No, they offered him with very good food. And he still partook. But he didn't overeat. He did not develop the craving for it. He did not compare that with those simple food. Oh, should be he and not his. He received from people when he went for Pindapata or Amsram. So this is a spelling mistake. So that is the understanding behind the teaching. Not to be attached, not to have craving or desire. When there is condition for things to arise, if you have the condition to receive it and to have it, then you can have it. Or you can give it to help others. Just like what my teacher did. He received a lot of offerings. And I saw it happening. Here he received, there he gives. Then sometimes he used to tell us, he said, Mr. Teo, sometimes we have to be sensitive. If people offer, then immediately we give. They may not be happy, see? He had the understanding. That's why he passed them to his kapya first. Then later on, he would just give it to someone else. It's because I think people complained to him before. They say, Ayo, how can Prachan do this? I purposely go and buy all this good food and I offered it to him. But instead, he just gave it away, just like that. I should have saved my money instead. If you have these thoughts, it means you don't understand what Dhanaparami is. The moment you have offered and you have done it sincerely, it's already a meritorious action. After you have offered, what they want to do with the offering is up to them. Instead of rejoicing, you become unhappy. See, you are still attached to your offerings. Already offered, yet you become unhappy. So what type of cultivation are you practicing? It's just like you go for retreat. You cultivate very seriously. The moment you are out of the retreat, your old anger, hatred, envy, jealousy, greed, and craving starts to manifest again. Then it defeats the purpose of those so-called retreats or meditation training, right? Sometimes they may go on a spiritual trip or a pilgrimage, and when they come back, they are supposed to have developed some form of spiritual understanding and cultivation. But the moment they are back, they go back to their old ways. Then there is no meaning behind all you do on such spiritual trip. Because you are not really cultivating. You are just thinking about the merits you can get or receive while going on such spiritual trips. The desire for merit is a craving with the greed behind. So behind all this action of yours is the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion, mainly greed for merits. But if you understand that the principle of cultivation is to develop spiritual cultivation of faith so that when you are on such trip, Your faith or sadha can be strengthened, leading to the virya for you to plant the seed of bodhi, which is most important. Then you can progress, or you will progress, because after that you will make the aspiration to walk the bodhisattva way. And diligently, day in and day out, renew your vows until they become a part of you, until they fully understand, or until you fully understand. And that is real cultivation. Just like the monks who have renounced, they undertake the training rule to abstain from all those things and keep the 227 monks' precepts. All those things, if you do them accordingly, you will become ever mindful. You will be destined for enlightenment. Cultivation is about cultivating the heart with understanding, constantly purifying, renewing your understanding, your faith, your virtue, your sadha, virya, and sati, then stabilize it until it becomes samadhi. Then via the direct seeing, awaken to the truth, which is wisdom. When these spiritual faculties are so stable until they become balas or power or unshakable, then they will become a part of your nature. Then you will become very different. Your meditation and cultivation will also become completely different. You are already heedful throughout the day, naturally, and meditation has become a part of your nature. You don't need to train anymore, because the spiritual faculties will ensure that you will have the meditative mind in every moment and every instant. That's the power of these spiritual faculties. That's why within the 37 factors of enlightenment, the spiritual faculties are repeated, especially for sati. It occupied 10 out of the 37, and they are very important for progress. The spiritual faculties will allow you to understand spiritual teaching, will allow you to remove or overcome the five mental hindrances, and will make you mindful, heedful on its own. The meditative mind will just manifest like that. No need to train, no need to do anything. Whatever posture you are in, you are always in the meditative state. That is real cultivation. Okay? Now we shall move on. So when you are able to do that, it means you have stabilized your sati. Yeah? We will go through the commentary. The first part you have covered. Eh? Okay. Commentary. Unless you rid yourself of sexual desire, should use just the word desire instead of sexual desire, as it's more encompassing, means it covers the whole scope. You will never get out of the triple gem. The world of desire, the world of form, and the formless world. Do you understand the meaning of this triple world? Yes. Kamaloka or sensual world, then the form world. Form world is Rupa Loka, and the formless world is the Arupa Loka. They are your Kamaloka, Rupa Loka, and Arupa Loka. They call it the three worlds. The first one is the world of desire, or the sensualine, which is Kamaloka. Then there is this world of form, which is Rupa Loka. And Loka is world. Finally, we have the Arupa Loka, which is the formless world. Contentment means not being greedy. That's why contentment is a parami, a perfection. If you have contentment, you will not have greed. This word is very important. You must have contentment. You have contentment with life, and you are contented with the way things are, or whatever that arises, then you are at peace, because to have contentment is to have wisdom. For according to the Buddha, contentment is the highest wealth. When you no longer need anything else, It means you are already wealthy. That's the reason why contentment is the highest wealth. Contentment is wisdom. Without wisdom, you cannot be contented. You will always have craving and desire for your riddle. Contentment means not being greedy, dying of poverty, dying of starvation. No matter what's the difficulty, you are never greedy. This part is very meaningful. When you are in this world, going through life, you experience many things. If you don't take care of karma, what will happen to you? Just like those who are born in the less fortunate conditions, such as war zone, famine area, or underdeveloped areas, where there is not enough food, proper shelter, proper medicine, medication, etc. What will happen? You have heard of people starving to death because of undernourishment, going through malnutrition. These are the people who are not so fortunate because of their coming past, their karma born of their coming past. They don't have the merits and the dana parami. That's why they cannot receive any food while going through such hard situation. And they have no choice. You have to understand what hunger is, what famine is. All these people, sometimes they have to go without food for days. Sometimes water is also difficult to find because they are born in desert area or dry area. We should count our own good blessings and develop contentment. Because of our good karma, we are born with such favorable conditions, in such beautiful places and location. When you look at our country, Malaysia, it is considered a very blessed country, a land of abundance with a lot of opportunity. But there are still people who are very poor and miserable. They are the ones who live below poverty line. And it's not to say that these people don't receive aids, but sometimes because of karma, they don't have the condition to receive them. Not until when people highlighted their condition, only after the newspaper, the press, the media, or the WhatsApp highlighted them, do they receive aid and help, or something can be done for them. Malaysia is considered a blessed country, blessed with lots of well resources, hardworking and talented people. I should include the word generous people though. So we should have this contentment and count our blessing and develop the joy when compared to those who are less fortunate. We are already relatively blessed. We not only have all those basic needs of life like food and shelter, etc. We also have our parents to raise us and provide for us. We have good condition for education, and when we grow up and become financially successful, we have good family unit, good children, and good relationship with people and our loved ones. We cannot take all this for granted because this come about because of our good coming inheritance and condition. From the way you understand life and the way you have lived your life, basing on those understandings. This life you can have all this blessing is because in the previous sasana, you have also developed a lot of wholesomeness and goodness, just like in this life. The question to ponder is, what will happen when the sasana is no more? Have you all contemplated and reflected into this matter? What will happen? That's why you have to have this clear understanding to make the appropriate affirmation. With this condition, we should bring forth the deep, clear understanding and resolve to vow and make the aspiration so that life after life, whenever you choose to come, whether there is sasana or not, your nature will come with the Bodhi mind planted. With the Bodhi mind or Bodhisattva planted and properly nurtured with understanding. it will just manifest. Then you will know what to do. You will never get lost again, and you will never have to go through the cycles of ups and downs, the karmic cycle. Then your progress will be all the way up based on right view and right understanding, based on all the beautiful condition that you have planted. Then even without the Buddha Sasana, you will know how to come, how to cultivate and develop all this wholesomeness. Then when the next Sasana arrives, your Parami will bring forth the causes and condition for you to manifest as beautiful beings to take across other beings, just like what happened when other great beings take you across. Unless you have this understanding and determination or affirmation to do all this, your future cannot be secure. Chances are, during the dark ages, Dharma ending ages, your karmic nature may fall again. Then this cycle of up and down will continue for a long period. Then you will have to wait till the next sasana, provided this sasana you have done something. But for most people, most likely, you all have your past cultivation, and this sasana's window can help you all achieve quite a lot of wholesomeness and good progress. What I want to advise you is don't waste this window of opportunity. Make your affirmation or determination now, so that in future, whether there is sasana or no sasana, your nature is beautiful. And this is what my nature wants to share with the beings of this civilization, so that you all can have the understanding and you all can become beautiful things too. Okay, we shall continue. Separate from wealth and beauty, do you see how clearly it said that you should not covet wealth or the opposite sex or fame? This is Master Chien Hua's explanation. He said, separate from wealth and beauty means don't get involved. Maybe as a monk, yes. But if you live a life of a lay person, you have to understand that the world is still the world. What they call wealth and money is not evil. Even beauty and good food, you can experience it. You can live life to the fullest to experience the pristine beauty and wonders of life. You can have them all if you have the understanding and the condition. You don't have to separate from it. It's just like money. Money is not the source of all evil. Similarly, technology is also not the source of all evil. All these are part of nature's condition and evolution. That's why the Heart Sutta said that when you realize true emptiness, life can be wonderful. Sen kong miao yu. Life can become meaningful and beautiful. And all these are possible. So what you have read here is Master Xuan Hua's own commentary, because his advice is based on his own understanding. We shall read on. That is a doubly complete, perfect in blessings and wisdom. His focus is on cultivation, which is very good. But that part, to separate from all things, is just the initial stage when you are under training. But the moment you have awakened, you can transcend duality, and you will not be deceived by it, not be deluded by it. Then you can live in the world like the lotus above the muddy pond, lotus pond. It stands above, but it is still connected to the pond. That's why it can rise above and beyond. It will not be deceived and deluded by it, not attached or cling to it anymore. But the world is still the world. Condition arising Dhamma still exists within the conditioned world. That's why you must have the wisdom of both sides, the conditioned and the unconditioned Dhamma, then you can live life beautifully. We have this form in mind, which is subject to karma, This form and mind of yours, which is within the conditioned world, is connected to your nature. If you have connected and liberated your mind via meditation, it means you have developed the wisdom. And chances are you have developed it via your past cultivation and inheritance. Then when you come with this understanding and the vows, it will connect you to your nature pretty fast. Then this wisdom will unfold. And when this wisdom is connected to your former mind, it's no longer deluded or deceived. Then the use of this former mind becomes beautiful. That's how you can understand life. That's how it will enable you to live life to the fullest. And that is the true Dhamma understanding. Not to be one-sided. Not to just avoid all these things. Avoiding evil is correct. Money, as I have said, is not evil. Wealth is not evil. It's only evil when the user of it is evil. So that part you have to understand. Avoiding all evil means avoiding all evil action. But not the thing you call money and wealth. There is no definition of it as evil because it depends on the user. Just like the form and mind. How can you say all form and mind are deluded? If the wisdom is connected to it, then the form and mind is enlightened. But it's not you. That's why you will know how to use it for the good of the many and to be a blessing to all. You cannot just by a stroke of a pen say all form and mind are deluded. There is no such thing. Like our sister Kathleen at our Cameron Island retreat said, isn't it human nature to be deluded? When I heard her say that, I understand because she was approaching it from a lay person's viewpoint. It's nothing to do with human nature. It's a human condition instead. It has nothing to do with human nature. It's a human condition. When there is avijja or ignorance, you will become like that. But to her, she thinks it's human nature or second nature. No. That's why there is such a thing as an enlightened form of mind, an enlightened being. Okay, maybe we stop here at the commentary, page 35. Okay, you all can slowly mindfully come out of the meditation. And we'll continue from our second session. So second session is meditation, reporting, followed by Q&A, whatever question you may have.
今天我想share的是 actually after 我的 Sunday sharing 我就好像明白到我在讲的是一个 只是一个 like 有违法
一切有违法
如梦幻泡影然后我就很自然的就在 reflect 怎样去保持一颗清净的心
That was very important
然后 after 我 throw out 那个 question 我就没有再去理它 Then as 我在 洗着我的菜的时候 Then 这个六祖慧能大师的那个 stanza 就 came to me
哦,Sado
他是说 何其自信 本质清净
对，所以，嗯，然后他是有三句
然后就何其自信 本质具足 然后何其自信者就是本无生灭的 他没有生灭性的
对
Then I was like 他好像明白这样子 他就是明白
Very good. Then they want to.
其实他没有 words, 他就哦啊，明白，就是什么，就是你只是 aware 到他的声啊，你那个 appear 那个 stanza 这样子。
Yeah.
然后过了吃了晚饭后，我就想到这个 stanza 好像有四句的。
Yeah.
然后他就 suddenly 他就那个 stanza 就跑出来说。何其自信，能生万法，
yeah.
就是这样子。I mean， 我就是感觉到，哎，很 amazing 这样子，
yeah.
哇，好像你就是明白这样子，
yeah.
其实就是没有
yeah.
没有 words 这样子。
Yeah， it's about the nature.、Give me a minute. A time. Okay, I call later what the coin.Hello, it's okay. 我的弟弟打给我哈。Yeah. You continue, Alicia.
他就是一个只是一个 understanding 这样子。
Yeah, about the nature.
就是没有。然后我就当我在有空的时候，我就 reflect 回去，就是说，其实真的，其实我们只要能够。回归自信就不需要说，因为他都本质就具足，他具足全部，他也很圆满的，也没有说善和恶什么这样子。
对 ，because it's without word, it's the unconditioned. There is no manifestation. That's why that nature is already perfect. But we can't live because that nature cannot come out and live life. That's not.But you need to have that nature's understanding from inside to be connected to the form and mind so that you understand and do not be deluded by the phenomenal world, by the conditioned world. So that understanding is very profound. That's why when a cultivator has realized that true nature, the 自信本性, then you will understand.You will understand. But most people's problem is they try to use knowledge to understand that which cannot be understood. But that one, when you really understand, is completely without word, without anything. It's just that nature. And that nature is not a being. It cannot come out and be blind. And it's not you. You cannot describe it. It's just a nature. And that nature can also...become the oneness and that nature is the source of all things that's why they give it by so many names the original nature the true nature and all the whatever spiritual name or entity even Buddhists alone they call it by so many names but everything arises from there like the Tao nothing is apart from itAll phenomena arise from there. And from there, everything becomes like real. Like real. That's how it created the phenomenal world, the conditioned world. Then through this, the mundane mind arises. And the mundane mind, when it arises without wisdom, is egoic. It attaches, it clings, it grabs, and it gives rise to things.Then the law of karma would take effect. Then the nature's law, the boundary condition for existence, they will take effect. They will spin off. That's why right view is to have right understanding of the nature's law that governs all of life and existence, especially the mental aspect.We call it the law of karma. Law of karma is the mental aspect where the thought process arises, the mental intention behind. That's why we call it the moral causation. It's not the physical cause and effect. It's the mental cause and effect, the moral causation. Means when there is mental intention behind, then the content of consciousness is tinted according to that mental intention. If that mental intention is either avarice of greed, hatred, and delusion, then it is an unwholesome content. That's why the thought becomes deluded and it conditions the evil roots. That's why you have wrong thought. So consciousness, even in the teaching, the Abhidhamma, they try to explain. You have wholesome thought, unwholesome thought, and neutral thought. Then you also have what they call the virtuous thought, which is without the evil roots. Then there is this, the pure thought without the content. That one only enlightened being can understand. So that one, the pure awareness, is very near our true nature. But that is the first thing to come up from that nature. That's why it's very difficult to maintain the awareness. The maintenance of awareness is the ability of the form and mind to stay with the nature. But like normal, what they call living being, they can't understand because their thought keep on arising. They want to know. Then this wanting to know is a craving and desire that condition further thought process. Then when thought is active, you cannot realize the silence, the awareness nature. That's why it become like gone. Before you can even develop the ability to be aware, it's already gone because the mundane mind arises. And the mundane mind has this curiosity, the egoic mind that wants to know, wants to do this, do that, in the name of meditation and all those things. That's why it's very difficult for them to perceive what that nature is, what that true mind is, that silent mind is. Then from there to develop the understanding is not easy. But for your case, because you have developed the meditation, you have developed the ability to go in to stabilize that thing. That's why you keep on having understanding of that thing. Then a cultivator who has glimpses of all this and stability of the awareness nature, the words of the teaching, which are for enlightened being, will become meaningful. That's why you mentioned about the six patria stanza about that nature. It came out and it's like you know, deep inside you understand because you have that experience. You have that, what they call cultivation that allow you to go in. There's a reason why all this while I have been telling cultivator of the way and kayamita. Not until your awareness nature stabilizes and you are able to develop the stability of daily mindfulness leading to heedfulness, you cannot understand that true teaching, the Dhamma behind. We are all these teachings, the Dhamma that the Buddha taught, they arise from that nature. Just like what Huineng mentioned, how amazing it is that this nature is complete by itself. And all Dhamma is never apart from this nature. So all this, it will surface and you will understand. So it's beautiful, Satyo, Alicia. Yeah, you continue. You can continue.
Satyo, Fred, you actually, yeah. 真的很 amazing, 因为之前, 哦, 我 try to remember 他, 他记不起来。没有用的, 他这个是很自然的, 你就是, 明白,
因为你 try to commit to memory, it become knowledge, 很奇怪的哦。 Then the actual understanding 就不会现起来了。你就是要了解了, just 放下, no need to remember, no need to do anything. 你有了那个 understanding, that's why wisdom, the spiritual understanding is, once you have, you have. Whether it's stable or not, not important. Later only it become important when you want to teach, when you want to share, when you want to express it, using words and all those. At that time, the stability matter. But before that, it doesn't matter. The being who has gone through, has a glimpse of it or awakened, is enough actually. After that, they will know, the nature will know what this thing is. That's why when they encounter a situation, they know what to do. That's it, finish. Then the stability of it will give rise to that type of wisdom, which is very stable. And when that wisdom, which is very stable, it will have the ability to root out defilement. Then that wisdom, which is very stable, not only root out defilement, defilement can never come in and deceive that understanding anymore. The understanding is just like a very radiant type of nature. That light, that shine forth, will root out all the delusion and it will create the clarity. That's why it shines forth everywhere, far and wide. So no matter what, it was just like all defilement cannot stand against it. The whole of the phenomenal world of form and consciousness will collapse in front of it. That it knows its illusionality, its unreality. The universal characteristic that has been exhibited and realized, penetrated by the true mind, the true nature, the silent mind, the meditative mind, the awakening. That realization is very powerful. That nature that is connected to the form and mind that awakened will have the understanding, no need to remember. That's why it's amazing. Tender, amazing.
Is the virtue actually? 之前 virtue 每次讲 let the phenomena come to you.
And tell you the story. 你不要去找。对，其实当下我是不大明白的。其实我就到底
virtue 要讲什么？其实我不明白。可是经过这一连串，我就明白了，因为它是一个understanding where你的。
好像你悟到，好像你 suddenly 悟到了，因为 show it to you 嘛 ，then you suddenly like insight into it and awaken it，and suddenly the understanding is there，why？ Because you have actually started to connect to the silent mind，the awareness nature，the 自性，is that nature that can trigger off understanding。 Yeah, the understanding is not a knowledge, it's not from memory, it's not a thought process, it's beyond thought, beyond mind. That's why it makes people so difficult to cultivate, or it creates so much confusion in the living being. The living being, the only instrument that they are familiar with or which they believe they have, it's the thought process, the thinking mind, the mundane mind. And they thought that is what they are, the form and mind. That's why they cling onto that, they grasp onto that, and they receive all the data, sense data, through their views, opinion, conditioning, and memory. They created all the phobia, the fear, the insecurity, the disorder, the delusion. Then from that delusion, they grasp, they hold, they cling, they give meaning. And the craving, the desire, the emotion, thrilling of all the defilement born of the evil roots, they appear everywhere. That's why all this, without the Dhamma understanding, without the wisdom, the insight, and the awakening, human being cannot cope, because our six sense door, they function so fast in the midst of life and existence. The senses operate so fast, every moment, every instant, there is sense contact. And upon contact, so many things happen. Without the awareness, you cannot see. You are being like drawn into it, sucked into it. And it just create conditioning, or what they call habitual tendency. And living beings just continue to react, to stir their mind, to allow the entanglement to do all this to them. So when you are caught, you cannot come out of it because they are all following this dwelling, paticca-sammuppada, dependent originating. So when this dependent originating is moving in such a vicious, strong link, the individual cannot free because they can't see. There is no space, no moment of awareness to be aware of what is going on. So without awareness, there is no possibility of freedom. You cannot have clarity. You cannot. It's just like me, me, who drawn into it. Like you are in a maze. You cannot come home. That's why awareness is like a wisdom light, like space. It gives you the space to be aware, to have clarity, to see, to observe, to understand. As I let the phenomena tell you the story, then you realize suddenly how you become entangled, how you develop fear, insecurity, sorrow, lamentation. Then the conditioning, the belief system. So how all these things come about, you start to understand. Before they arrive, there was none. Which means there is another mind that is independent of all this. All this emotion, all these views, opinion, and conditioning. The consciousness that is without any content, what is it? Who are you without the content? The egoic mind sees. Without the content, that is your true mind, your true nature, your pure awareness, the first that come out. But without the karmically conditioned for my mind, that nature cannot manifest. Yet that nature needs the form of mind to connect, to develop the meditative understanding, to cease the thought, then only it can connect. That is where the difficulty is. And actually, precisely this is the main teaching. But nobody can teach like that anymore. Because they only, like, most people, even the advanced so-called cultivator or a very great teacher, they cannot put it into words and explain this thing to you. Because they know what that thing is only to the extent that they awaken to. But to put it into words and explain how all this come about is not easy. That's why Krishnamurti did it, because he has the understanding. He went through it. Then my nature also able to do it. Then Huining, they are also able to do it, but they saw it so clearly. Then it need more and more of these gripping to come out with the understanding. Because we need to give the mundane sentient being the understanding through words, through concept, through whatever the mundane mind can understand. But that is not the reality. The reality is completely beyond. But we need to communicate with people. We need to explain what this thing is, but we need to use words. That's why words come in, 文字. Then when words come in, it creates duality, it creates more confusion, it creates more division. But this is the way of thought. Thought needs all this content. Then the rational mind, the thinking mind, the analytical mind starts to develop that knowledge. And through that, they think they know. That's how they get trapped again. So to break free from all this, you need to silence completely, develop the stability of awareness. Then through the awareness nature, you can develop the ability to awaken. Means to be the silent witness within, to witness everything that arises. Just like what I share with you all and you pick it up. Let the phenomena tell you the story. Don't go and look for the story. Don't go and ask, is this Anicca, dukkha, anatta. Is this what the Buddha taught? Is this what Brother Teo said? No need. If you do that, you end up in thought-based analysis and reasoning again. Then you too eager to know, the mundane mind become active again. That's why I explain the negation part, the opposite. When you meditate, just silent, relax, maintain awareness. Don't try to know. Don't try to do anything. Let that nature stabilize. Then you will awaken. Then you will come to know, like what the Buddha explained. All these are not intrinsic within your nature. Your anger, your fear, your craving, your desire. All these, they are dependent originating mind state. Before they arrive, they were not there. The mental hindrance are like that. The spiritual faculty are like that. Everything is like that. But that mind is mind. Neither good or evil. The user that has the wisdom is more important, like I always explain. If you have developed the insight, the wisdom, the awakening, and the understanding, then the user of the former mind become beautiful, where you have the right view, the right understanding. Then you can say that former mind is enlightened. But it's not you. Where that former mind is not a permanent, unchanging entity. It's karmically conditioned for you to come, a vehicle and tool, to live life, to experience life, to understand life, to realize a pristine beauty and wonders of life, and develop our cultivation, our perfection, fulfill our vow, everything that is related to the conditioned, the manifested world, the world of form, the world of consciousness. So, all this understanding, it has to dawn upon the form and mind that realizes it through the silence, through that nature within. Then from there, use that understanding to live life. The understanding has two parts. One is the unconditioned, the zi-sing, the self nature, the true nature that you realize. Realize that, then develop the understanding of the essential Dhamma, which are the conditioned world. Within the conditioned world, yes, there are anicca, dukkha, anatta. There are birth, old age, sickness, and death. There are Dhamma. There are everything within the conditioned world. But within the unconditioned, there is none of this. He know you, he know me, no mark of self, no mark of others, no mark of life, existence, everything. Then how can there be anything? That's like Hui Ling say, originally there was nothing. But like we heard to resonate. Where can the dust align? Where can that mundane mind dwell? It cannot dwell. The dwelling is where the attachment is, the craving is, the delusion is, otherwise it does not dwell. It only dwells when it needs to manifest, when it needs to arise. But with the wisdom connected, then it can dwell. There is no delusion to cause craving, attachment, grasping, and delusion. That's why the fully enlightened Sammasambuddha and the enlightened beings of the Buddha, they can arise the pure mind, the true mind. They have all the senses. They have all the pure aggregates that doesn't grasp. They are non-grasping. That's where the difference is. They truly live by without delusion. That's why they cannot hold, they cannot grasp. They cannot give meaning to all these things. But they know the way of living being, sentient being, the way of Dhamma. So all these are very beautiful. So hopefully with this condition for my nature to share, the understanding can become more profound, more in-depth, and all this understanding in future will benefit a lot of cultivators. Then there will be other great beings that will make this even more simplified, easier to understand. That's why I move on from what Krishnamurti and all these meaning the sutra teaching, because my nature can understand. Then from there, I explain and let you all understand that the words may be different. The words that Krishnamurti use is different, but they are beautiful because they point towards the same truth. The sutra also says it points towards the same truth. But to understand them based on daily activity, daily life terminology is not easy. That's why I try to articulate the Buddhist sutras teaching understanding with the understanding of Krishnamurti. Then I formulate my own understanding and I combine it and deliver it to the world, this civilization. Then I have the Bodhisattva vow, that format which is very unique, that speed up the cultivation. Then also the way I understand the two dhamma, like Maitreya's nature, he knew. That's why he requested me to share this with the world. 请你把正法传下去. This is the true Dhamma, 正法. To penetrate and realize to that stability, that type of 正法 is very rare, very, very rare. That's why my nature can reconcile, explain a lot of things. Then even that day, your neighbor, you brought him, that Kenny, how is he now? I think by now he should be okay already, Alicia?
Yeah,
But 他的 karma 也是 very mixed on, 他也有很多障碍, 他也是要还的, but he is lucky because he got affinity with you, than with my nature too. That's why he can come. Then through the what they call the condition that arise, that it really show it to you, that all this can really happen, because I think he came for only about 2 hours, 3, and he left at about 5 or 5:05, and then everything just unfold, like he told you, where you were the one that started and say the energy was very strong in my house. Then he also said, yeah, the moment he come in, he feel very good, he feel very calm. He said, this place is different. Then as he listened, he starts to develop understanding. That's why he said, nobody can explain this to him. He said, if he had heard this, he would have come out of it too. But he said, nobody can explain this to him. Then when I try to ask him to explain how he become entangled until the way he is, at first he tell us a different set of story. Then straight away I knew, I told him, no way, there is something that has created the fear in you. Otherwise you will not be depressed until like that. The depression was there for almost 7 years. And it affected him so much. Suicidal thought and all those things. Then trigger of so much fear, insomnia, cannot sleep. Then finally when I see psychiatrist, take the medication, and the medication is a drug. It make him worse. He tried to withdraw, he can't. He realize he become worse. Then I used to say, all this medication is just a short-term relief. It maybe help to tranquilize them, allow them to have more ability to sleep. Then the there is this chemical imbalance that all drunk they give, is to reduce their panic attack. But they realize when panic attack come, phobia come, intense fear come, is because of chemical imbalance, because our body, it will trigger a type of hormone that cause this chemical imbalance. Then the medical side, they realize if they give you that style of chemical imbalance back, then your fear, your phobia, everything like stabilize. But this is a drug. When you become dependent on it, that dependency become more intense, and you need stronger drug to maintain the same effect. It's just like drug addict. The withdrawal effect or symptom is very severe. So all this will arise, will happen. But I realized recently, I can explain this very much faster and easier. I don't need to go around and like share a lot of the teaching. No need. I just explained to him a little bit about karma. And although he's not educated, he only until form 3. Then finally he understands some of the very beautiful essential dhamma like contentment, you remember? So a lot of these things, when you have the understanding, you can communicate with even lay people. But provided they have the affinity with the Triple Gem to receive this, otherwise they will get trapped. Then I also emphasize to him on the karmic obstruction thing. I say he has to learn how to ask for forgiveness, repentance. And he said he will learn from you. Sadhu. Very good. Delicious.
因为他跟我讲的东西，我都能够理解，因为我已经经历了很多，所以他就讲，你跟别人讲，人家是不能理解的，因为我那个人没有经历啊，他们不知道，所以他跟我，我就跟他讲，然后他就是他自己愿意去听，而且他是很专心的听，哦，而且就一直在。
And not only that, like when I finally knock him, I say there must be something. Based on what you tell me, you cannot become depressed until then. That's why finally he admitted he lost a big sum of money. He was scammed or people default on him before he get the depression, not after. Yeah, what he told us was 2 years after, but actually it was before. That's why finally he recalled and he admitted. He said, yeah. Well, I told him, there is no way you can become like that until you have such severe depression, until you have to go on drug from the doctor, the psychiatrist, and all those things. As I finally, when he admitted, then when he went to the toilet, you asked me, is it, what about you? You很厉害啊，你会知道. It's not to say 我厉害, I cannot read mind, I don't have psychic. But based on the Dhamma understanding, it's obvious that there is something triggering of all this, because the fear behind all the cocoon of wrong thought, the negativity of thought, that trigger of that phobia, that fear, that condition is suffering, misery, depression, suicidal thought. All this, there are causes and conditions behind. So finally, he was able to actually recall. Then after that, towards the end, before he about to leave, I already saw that not only his facial change, he is now more calm, more joy, the fear like much less already. Then he said, yeah, now he know why. Because he's going on to that thought that make him miserable because he was scammed. And the scam or the default that people did to him, because the amount of money involved is very significant. That's why he couldn't overcome it. And I told him this is coming. The coming from the past. The conditioning to cling. Then after he heard what I explained, all this thing, then he realized, yeah, he can't actually let go of that thought. He become entangled is because he hold on to that thought. He was not able to come to acceptance of it, the reality. Then later on, I explained to him on the reality. I said, no amount of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, or misunderstanding, or even your fear can help you. It make you worse. You need to accept the reality, come to terms with the reality. Then with that understanding, ask yourself what happened. Then develop the understanding to move on. Do what you have to do. Then we taught him the three things. But briefly, he already appreciated because he knew that this is the answer. So in that sense, he has some affinity, good affinity, the Triple Gem, and also with us and you all. Very good, Sadhu.
Sadhu Bharatio, actually, 我很感恩他给我这个机会学习。
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
他讲感恩你啊, 他讲他也感恩我。 所以圆满都很...
Correct. Even though it looks like a normal thing, but it is through all this, like I said, his affinity come from your in past life, distant past or whatever. He could have helped somebody to come out of it. Otherwise, he cannot meet you and Freddy and have the condition to come and see me. I even told him, for him to have the condition to come and talk to me and able to listen like that, you must have your past. Yeah? Otherwise, you can't. Yeah. So he also appreciates and understands that because the Dhamma is such, it is not what people think. If you don't have the causes and conditions, there is no way they can seek all this. Like you mentioned, suddenly he apologized to Freddy. He was the one that argued with Freddy a lot in the meeting. The community there, you know. Because I think you told me Freddy was the chairman of that house owner association. Then he was the one that very vocally every time argue or challenge Freddy. Then suddenly, for no reason, he came and apologized to Freddy. Then it set up the condition for all this to happen. That's why nature is like that. It can just happen.
Okay, brother, 就要感恩。 今天我不懂 Miss Lee 有什么要 share 吗？
Okay, yeah. You can go to Miss Lee. Yeah, Miss Lee.
Yeah, brother, Teo, good afternoon.
Yeah,
and. Good afternoon, Mrs. Teo, and thank you, Alicia, giving a good conditions for Brother Teo to give a holistic aspect of the cultivations. Overall, I got not much things to share, but it's more an importance is the understandings of the Dharma that Brother Teo has delivered to us. And how we identify the gap of understanding and move on. So the right understanding comes after we know the functions of the mundane as well as the true mind. Okay. So this right understanding, but once you have the understanding, it always I notice that the arises of thought is more on right thoughts. So
and you and, don't have to remember anything. That nature inside.
Correct.
You have means you have. That's why you just continue with the cultivation.
Yeah,
continue
when the conditions
maintain heedfulness and the understanding will unfold by itself. Then when it unfolds by itself, the form and mind who the cultivator who has gone through all this will start to understand because this is pachitang, like the Buddha said. then you realize by the wise, each for themselves. Then after that, you realize everything is just the way it is.
Yeah.
It's always explained by the Buddha and also by the enlightened beings. All those who go through, even the sutta, they realize the words is such. It's the opposite of what the world thinks. Because the unconditioned and the conditioned, they are two almost direct opposite things. So you wei fa, the two are different. Then as you cultivate, as you go through, as you transcend the understanding, the awakening, as your wisdom or understanding deepen and stabilize, then all this will just manifest very naturally. It's like you no need to do anything because the nature just unfolds itself. Without that nature, it is blind, it is deluded, it is heedless, it creates all the entanglement. But with that nature, if you start to observe, silent, follow the meditative training, then it will awaken. Then it will understand. Then when it understands, like you rightly pointed out, it will create less and less deluded thought, the wrong thought. Then because of the right view and the right understanding, most of the time you are at peace with whatever that arises. So the ability to at peace, to be at peace, is the first phase that most cultivators who are walking on the right path will go through. Then after that only, it will give rise to the cultivation of the four right effort, the last two, the third and the fourth. The third and the fourth is the right thought that is not already in you. Or to refine upon all the right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood that are already with you. So all this is the next level of cultivation. So whether you have more and more right thought and wholesome thought or not depend on your understanding first. When you have the understanding already, then you can develop the cultivation. Otherwise, that type of right thought is right according to the individual.
Yes, it becomes a reality.
No use one. That one is knowledge, Dhamma, not applicable in real life. There is not a wisdom. It cannot trigger off the Noble Eightfold Path cultivation. That it cannot become an embodiment of that form and mind that has the understanding. So you have to be careful about the thought that is using knowledge to analyze, to reason, and to try to become that thing. The other one is just silent.
Yes.
Spiritual faculty, aware. And everything will fall into place. Then it will understand by itself. That's why I used to tell Miss Brother Song, they all, some of the cultivators, even Pujang, they all. They say, later on, you all will come to know all this your own. Technically, I use the word technically, you don't really need a teacher. But the awareness will actually reveal to you.
Self-comprehend.
Yeah, self-comprehend. Pachetang, it will unfold. But without a proper guide, a teacher who has gone through, it will take you a long time. It will trap you at the various stages of cultivation for very long. Even in the initial stages of cultivation, cultivators are trapped very long. Even the Bodhisattva way, the initial first few stages, they can be trapped and lost their way for very long. Because why? The cultivation is such. It's not a syllabus type, it's not a book that a trained teacher can actually lead you. This one needs awakening, needs realization. If that teacher or the guy or the person that want to guide you or teach you also haven't gone through, there is no way he can understand. What he is teaching you is all theoretical knowledge, which can never lead to the true understanding and the awakening. That's why it's very difficult. And like the sutta say, the opening statement, to encounter this type of wonderful teaching is really, really rare. They even talk about 500 million of aeons and aeons for you to encounter the true Dhamma. Is very important, and it start to unfold now because more and more people with the ability to comprehend will start to appreciate all this. Otherwise, you realize that it's all stated in the sutta, but very few people can understand and explain to you. At first, the opening statement for a sutta class that Shen Hua used, we may think, wow, Yang Wukam Kwa Chiang, takes so long. They use the word 500 million of eons and eons before you can really encounter such truth. But in truth, in reality, that is precisely what it is. Where samsara is very, very long. And the number of world cycles is very, very long. So all this, slowly, as you cultivate, as you develop the patience, the faith, then the sincerity to go this way through your vows, through your aspiration, all this will bring forth the way. It may take long, but it's really wonderful, amazingly wonderful. That's why the true teaching is very wonderful. Very good, Miss Lee. Continue all your sharing.
Another thing is I want to highlight is I heard about Po Lian talking about he did the wow like parroting, is it?
Yeah.
And actually, if she had put herself into it, that means the wow actually is talking about her. That means she will be more passionate about it, and the understanding will surface that why it was written in that way. It will be more penetrative in the sense
obviously, based on your understanding now, this will be the advice you will give to her. But you need to have the understanding of that Wu Liang Yi Jing. You remember? The section on virtue of Wu Liang Yi Jing. Then preaching of the Dhamma. Then also the third section, the 10 merits. Because you need to have extensive understanding.
Virtues.
Cultivation, perfection to understand. Therefore, her case is not so straightforward. For case, she know it's because she got the condition to know, but she don't know what to do because it involved karmic obstruction, karmic obstacle. And her case is very severe because she offended the triple gem in the distant past. And many lie because of the what he called, he was born as Mara also, he's equally fierce and doing all these things. But luckily, in this life, he was able to actually have the condition, the causes and the condition, because it's the sasana, to actually came to have this understanding to go through. And she asked for forgiveness, repented many times already, and so far so good, penetrated quite a bit. So what she penetrated was initially the karmic offense, very severe one. So the karmic obstruction starts to break. Then the karmic obstruction, not only one particular one, because that time he did so many, a lot of beings everywhere also can recall and remember what he did. That's why he, Cameron Kena. Then when I chant Namo Tassa, I kena already. Then in my house also, when I invited him, Samantha, The Dima, he also, the Dharma protector also know her. That's why he cannot left and right. Then all this she managed to overcome already. But now she wants to cultivate, that obstruction hasn't gone. It's not so easy one. You have to develop the sincerity. That's why that one, she got to put in a lot of sincerity, then with the faith to drive her to move. The asking for forgiveness and repentance is very important. So for her case, all that, but she so far, okay, I think she has been in a way very blessed because
yeah,
of,
she improved a lot already.
Not only improved a lot, the process of asking for forgiveness and repentance, he did very well. And now she like has something that give her the clarity to know where he was trapped. Then the last session, luckily she shared this and asked. That's why straight away he said, "Brother, I want to ask you, I want to share on it. I know I'm parroting her." So he wants to know how to overcome it. So I explained to her. She has to actually break free this repentance, asking for forgiveness. This time is for the cultivation and the setup. It's no more the offense, coming offense of the triple gem and all this. Beings, Dharma protectors, they all that time, one group of them, they did a lot of this nonsense. That's why it's so severe. You go everywhere, even at Achalo there, you cannot go in. No. Then a lot of other things also happened. Then during the Katina, the body was forced to bow and all do all those things for more than 30 minutes. If I'm not wrong, it's about 40 to 45 minutes. Then later on, I saw my nature rejoice. I knew she was clear. Then after that thing, I asked her, "Why you bow?" She said, "I don't know, brother. There is a force forcing me to do it." Very kaulat, she know. She said, it's very, very painful, not easy. But she just do, because that is during Katina time. Then a lot of other things, I think what she did was very severe from the past. That's why all these Dharma protector, non-human, they know. But he also have affinity with Triple Gem, the good side. That's why he was able to genuinely overcome it. At first, before that trip, you were asked her, before that trip to Achalo there, Anandagiri. The coming obstruction came and test her. No? He cannot know injury or what. Until he didn't see the doctor, then he get Po Sang Fung. What is Po Sang Fung? Is it tightness? Something like that. Tightness. Then I say, you better make aspiration if you really want to go. That was 2 days before the trip, no? 2 or 3 days before the trip. And then only when I see the doctor, then they give her the medicine. Or then luckily, one day before the flight, she recovered. Polian, you better explain. Polian, are you there?
Bro Teo, yes. Actually, I fell into my leg, gone into the drain in PJ, where the steel bar opening like that, you know.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I got one. Initially, as you say, I didn't go and see doctor, and I fell. I also never relate that another week I'm going to Thailand. Never. After 2 days, the wound, so I said, I walk also a bit of pain. I said, I'm going to Thailand, you know. I go and see doctor, you know. Then I went. So in Achalo place also, I cry a lot lah. In the
way. A lot of things.
Have to enjoy the husband.
Yeah, enjoy the husband. Clifford was with you in the same bed. That time, first time he went spiritual trip, he was asking Joyce and me, he said, "But what is going on?" He said, "Am I Yao Man Tai Joyce?"
Joyce Yong San.
Yeah, Joyce Yong San. So eerie. Then luckily Mimi was also there trying
yeah,
to help
Mimi
you
even
and
helped
other
me.
thing.
Mimi helped me.
Yeah.
Then just now, but actually, when you were talking, I suddenly only I recall, I think later, you know, many years later, I went to follow Brother Teo to Putuasan.
Yes, yeah.
In the temple that Brother Teo, you organized a like morning day retreat, you know, morning to
Correct.
evening
Yes.
one, the very
yes.
很近的一个 temple. Actually, over there also, as I enter, I walk the staircase a few and enter, I already know I want to cry already.
Yeah.
So when we enter into the where, you know, you the rain, I will gonna rain one before going to the main shrine,
correct,
the
correct.
Open space,
yeah.
I also 跪在那边, ku.
Yeah.
That one, I think, yes, I think the monk there also, I think they also see AY like that, I also so
yeah.
crying there also.
Yeah.
Achalo and this one I remember.
Yeah.
Another one is a Klang one, brother.
Yeah, Sumero. Yes.
The Klang one also
yes.
in the Kwanin there when we
yeah,
are chanting
yeah, yeah.
also. I also cry.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah. And I think Brother Teo, one day the last class in SS2, Brother Teo house, before we
yeah.
go to Ajahn Achalo, I sit
yeah.
on the moving chair where Freddy
yeah,
used
chair.
To sit
yeah.
on.
Rocking
and
chair,
I don't
yeah.
know why my body was being pushed to the left, pushed to the right.
Yeah.
And I was
you,
crying
you
there. And Brother Teo was talking. Brother Teo was
talking
in front during a class. I was my body was turned to the left, turned
yeah,
to the right.
Yeah.
Auto.
Yeah.
I also don't know why my body turned and I was crying there. That was the last lesson before we go to Ajahn Achalo one.
Yeah.
So now I relate all this, Brother Teo is
yeah.
actually
meant to be, otherwise you kena kau kau, I tell you.
So I think Brother
Bampo temple, you remember?
Yes.
You get into big trouble, but luckily you were quite fortunate.
Even Brother Teo, after 1-2 years when I go to Cameron Highland, I was still cry, and I remember there's one time that's after not my first year in Cameron Highland, second or third year, I go
yeah.
into the lady toilet, the sink there in front, and I cry. cry. That is maybe second or third year also.
Yeah, then there were a few occasions, second,
yes.
third year, you cannot take it in front, you went to the back and sit.
I go to the back. But first year in Cameron Highland, very strange, Brother Teo. That time I'm still new. The first time I see Brother Teo is the day I go to Cameron Highland.
Yeah.
I sit right in front the first
yeah,
row.
In front of me on my right, I remember. Facing
on
my
your, yes, on your right, on your right,
yeah,
correct, Brother Teo,
you.
On your right.
Then,
this is not my character in the school. I don't
correct.
Like to sit. And I keep on staring at the Buddha Talien.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I keep on looking at the Buddha Talien. You know, I just stare at the face. That's what I know.
Initially you suppressed the feeling. You did not let it out. Then you came and talked to me. I heard this problem.
Yeah.
And you just let it out. Is it very eerie or no? You even try to
yeah, I don't want.
Don't worry. Then luckily you let it out. All those who sat near you panic, I tell you.
I
they don't
think,
know what you did. You so eerie until, I don't know how to.
I brought you when I cry, I know one, you know.
You definitely
one, you know.
Because all this is coming and all these non-human Dharma protector and the being, they are creating the karmic effect for you to go through. But luckily, you have the what they call affinity. That's why the way you come to a retreat also, you were not registered. You're not supposed to come on.
Yeah,
Last minute, my wife cannot go because my son got something that he has.
You know, from Indonesia or something?
Indonesia. Then I told my wife, you stay back, I go with her. And then only, I think one of the, either Jin Hao or Brother Song or what, okay.
Song.
Song can include you or not. I said, yeah, ask you to come. That's how you came. It's meant to be.
Brother Teo, I look back, actually, I'm growing up in the family of Pai Tua Pek Kong. So I'm used to listen. I mean, from young, we know Christian, we know Islam. And every time in the school, I will fill up the form that I am a Buddhist, which is wrong. Not. So I always feel that Buddhists are for Jiao. So when I'm studying in Penang, I don't know why, when I meet these people going into the Buddhist association, I actually got very, I look down on them. I don't show in my face. But inside my heart, I'm thinking, this is a small learn lighter. And Brother Dio, there's no reason I can explain why I hui kan tamen jiangzi.
You know why or not?
That time also I didn't ask. I just say, when I see, I walk together to them, I go into Tionghoa Association.
You know why or not? Even after so long, after the sasana has come again, you still have that habitual thing. Very impolite type of question and all those things. You look down upon them.
No, because, bro, it means I am not in Buddhism this line one.
Not that your karmic obsession last time you don't like all this cultivator one. Especially the Buddhists and the chanting, you go and disturb them and did a lot of nonsense. Not you alone, one group of you. That's why when the chanting start at Cameron, Namo, you cannot take it already. Then later on, my house, when I invite the Deva Samantha, even before that, you cannot take it already. Then I stop. I say, never mind, wait, later. From now on, I say, we don't invite first. Then later only it stabilized. And you have gone a long way, which is good news. That's why you also have your good condition and good paramit. Now you recall back, you know that, like I always say, whatever the Buddha said is very true. Whatever that arise or happen, there are causes and conditions behind. So what are the causes and conditions? It's your past, what you did and all this. That's why now you trace back, you start to understand how come all this can be that way. So your case is a very good, typical showcase for people to understand about karmic thing, karmic obstruction. The karmic obstruction, not only the wrong thing that you do, when you already like clear all those karmic things, when you want to cultivate, you again, the obstruction is because you need to sincerely repent and prove it to the Triple Gem or nature that you have really repented. Then only the cultivation obstacle will break. And then you can start to develop what they call the sincerity of asking for forgiveness and repentance to go this way. Because to break this karmic obstruction for cultivation is not so straightforward, not so easy, not like the early one. The early one, you can express your determination, but when it comes to cultivation, this is your last hurdle. When you break this, your cultivation will be smooth sailing. And you actually not bad on. You can develop understanding quite easily, but you're not so serious. Your cultivation, you didn't take it that seriously. If you take it that seriously, you can progress very fast. So sadhu to you.
Yesterday I was listening, not finished yet, listening to the talk the last Sunday PG say she listened three times. So I listened halfway. One sentence I got is brought you mentioned, purify your mind by silent mind.
The answer.
I got only this, you know, halfway I listened.
Clear your whatever.
Meaning, we are clean water, my, which is your silent.
Silent. That is the only way.
I listen, I got these few words.
That is the key pointer. You just continue to silent away. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Stabilize it. Then the understanding will come. That's why this will bring forth the faith. Then when really it trigger of understanding, your faith becomes unshakable, then you and actually continue with your cultivation and all those things.
Brother Teo, that talk is very packed full, very
info.
That's what PG says, you listen and listen, listen.
It's that, full of very important pointer, Dharma pointers.
So the cream is there.
For cultivator all the way. In fact, the recent sharing all is very, very useful, very important. That these are the understanding that you cannot find from normal normal Buddhist way place. You need people with that type of nature and understanding. And for us also, it took us so long to evolve this type of understanding, because ever since the year 2004 until now, it's already 18 years. Some of you all started later, the Suyang side one, 4 years later, 2008 or 9 only you all start. But most of you have more than 8 years or some 10 years. And this is the time you take. And despite the very direct type of sharing and understanding, it also takes you all quite a while. So not easy to have this type of understanding and condition.
Bro, Teo, your teaching is direct or not?
Yeah, very direct, like saying on. Take you direct to the
direct,
nature.
Very direct.
And now I explain to you the three hallmarks of awakening is very penetrative. From there, all the essential Dhamma that I have explained and link up the whole teaching of Sakyamuni, and I introduce Krishnamurti and also part of Eckhart and all those things. So all this understanding is not easy to combine, but the moment you combine them, it will make you different. You will progress very fast, because the Dhamma is very, very profound when you don't understand. But when you understand, it's very easy, very straightforward. The problem is initially when people start, there is a lot of karmic obstruction. There is a lot of karmic delusion. Because they use the thought-based meditation, knowledge-based. All this actually prevents understanding. Because the understanding of mindfulness, awareness, sati, were not there completely, almost not there at all. And it takes quite a while for you all to really understand what sati is, what that silent mind, that silent nature is. So all this is very beautiful and very amazing, because it starts to unfold. And more cultivator, Kayamita, have developed the understanding, which is very good. So, sadhu to you,
Thank you, Brother Teo.
Sadhu.
I now is like, 要更努力咯,
So, it's the good condition. You have everything fall into place. Not only that, you realize your career not. Actually, at your age, nobody will give you VSS on. You almost retiring age already. And yet you get your VSS on. Then you can go into cultivation. And you have actually all the conditions favoring you. That's why you're good. Your good condition has slowly unfold.
So we have to take that as a positive force.
Very good, sadhu. Today the condition also very good. We should thank Miss Lee also.
Yeah, Missy,很久没有看到他了。
Yeah, also Alicia.
So I think today our sharing will be here, lor.
6点04了。
Thank you to everyone.
Then, Missy, 你还有什么东西要讲吗？Before we wrap it up, Missy.
Yes, Brother.
You have anything else to add? Before we
wrap it up. Happy to listen from Polian.
Yeah.
So, also thank you very much, Brother. Today's sharing is very good.
Yeah.
And it's quite holistic on overall presentation.
Correct. Yes.
Thank you.
Sadhu. Okay, let us rejoice to all the good condition and sharing today. Sadhu. Sadhu. Sadhu.